Welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat. I'm your co-host, John the Cigar Surgeon, broadcast live around the world on CigarFederation.com, YouTube.com, and of course picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks very much to all our podcast listeners who are tuned in and subscribed. Appreciate that love. Cigar Chat is brought to you by Kirkus Cigars. Try the new Heritage, which ranked super high on Cigar Journal. Check it out at your local B&M. Tis the season to be buying cigars. There's deals to be had. Get it. I'm here, as always, with my host, Logan. What's going on in Fredonia, Texas today, brother?
They took our jibs! No, I'm just kidding. They took our jibs! It's good, man. It's been kind of a yo-yo weather-wise. I mean, I got back from India, and we'll have to talk about that on the show.
Heck yeah.
Because, dude, it was a disaster. You know it's going to be a bad work trip when you land in a foreign country, and then you realize, oh, there's a hurricane coming in 6 hours. And you had no idea. You know it's not going to turn out well. So we can talk about that.
I know a large part of India, and we'll talk about it, but I know a large part of India is coastal, but like I do not think of India as being a target for hurricanes, right?
If you believe it or not, I mean, it's like India is to like New Orleans and like the Yucatan Peninsula as, you know, that, I mean, that's just very close. It's very much like that. And it's only the eastern seaboard. Because they rotate around kind of in between the Indian Ocean,
Malaysia, that's gotta be the Indian Ocean and the Pacific, right?
That's the Indian Ocean, and then once you get on the other side of Malaysia, it's kind of both, but it's Indian Ocean, but yeah, I mean, it's on the eastern seaboard, and another thing you gotta watch out for is tons and tons of tsunamis, because you get tsunamis all around, like underground earthquakes in like Java and friggin', you know, Indonesia and Sumatra just absolutely decimate the eastern seaboard of India.
No, it's totally cool. I mean, all the buildings in the eastern seaboard are totally made to spec and to industry standards.
Oh, yeah. They're not wood huts or anything, you know.
grass huts with wooden stilts. And yeah, there's so much poverty there, right?
Let me define poverty. Like, when I think of poverty, it's people that, you know, are trying to do like, okay, we're going to get in a philosophical conversation here, but poverty is all relative in everything, right? Like have someone in the US making $30,000 and I think they're going to live in poverty because I'm like, how do you just afford to live? It's like the average salary is $200, you know, a month, which seems like nothing, but even people that are literally like doing like the untouchables or people who are like lower class, lower society that, you know, are doing stuff like, for example, when the hurricane came through, their job was to go through and they're like using literally, like, not kidding, a machete to try to cut up the trees out of the road. No chainsaw, machete. Yeah. And that person gets paid like nothing, right? Nothing. Well, and they're just happy as a clam.
Yeah, labor's crazy, crazy cheap there.
Super cheap. And, you know, like, there's not really poverty because everyone there is really happy. And that, like, even people, they don't make a lot of money. It's funny, like their family system. Like, I haven't seen my parents pretty much all year, you know, and I'm not going to see them for Christmas. And they do dinner all the time. Like, if someone's sick, the whole family comes. Like, so it's not really poverty in the sense like you, even if you don't make a lot of money, you can't take care of yourself because your family will take care of you. Your community will take care of you. It's very weird over there.
No, that makes sense. And I think for me, you know, like you think about. And we're way off topic. We'll get back to cigars in just a second.
Way off topic.
When I think of poverty, I think of, you know, number one, do you have a house? Number two, do you have food? And everything else kind of beyond that is really gravy. Like, whether you have a cell phone or not is not really poverty. And there's a lot of people in the world that don't have a place to live and don't have, you know, 3 squares a day. So really, if you think about it in those terms, you know, if you've got that and you're comfortable with food, then everything else is kind of gravy on top because you're probably better than a significant portion of people in developing nations. But getting back to cigars, what are you smoking tonight?
I am smoking my favorite cigar that was released this year. The blend was already released previously. I think either probably the Surrogate's Animal Cracker. They released it because it was in a 6x60. And
good Lord,
people with this cigar, everyone I always talk to said, hey man, that's a great, I mean, the 6x60 version. They're like, man, great cigar. If you made it like, and something wasn't,
Donkey D.
A big old Donkey D. And they did. They made it in a, I think it's a 5.5x52 Robusto or 5.5x50 Robusto. That's and God, sense. I think, honestly, I think I've smoked probably 6 boxes.
Wow.
Dude, it's just, it's like Pepinatus finest, man.
Casper knows how to blend, just, man.
Dude, they do, man. They know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. Sometimes I even think that the Atelier and Surrogate's combo of those four guys is, I hate to say it, no offense, Pete, but better than some of the stuff you put out singularly by yourself.
Ooh, dropping shots across the bow very early on in the show.
I mean, I know, but I'm saying, like, recently, if you think about it, Surrogate's Atelier versus Tatuaje.
I mean, that's, I mean, that you think about each of those brands, in certainly in the boutique world, they're all kind of juggernauts, right? Like, you're talking shades and degrees of juggernauts at that point. I mean, I was looking back at some of the videos that we did this year, and like, you look at some of Pete's shows, like Cigar Chat, the interviews with Pete and stuff like that, and just one of his shows on our channel is more popular than like 3 other appearances by somebody else, which is crazy. I mean, crazy, because, you know, we've had some big names on the show.
I mean, not surprised.
I'm smoking something dirty, a little dirty, a little Macarita Pina Larga. Oh, yeah.
Dude,
so dirty, so good. One. Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. I mean, you know, and I think you did a great job with the Sober Mesa. Have you smoked the Short Churchill Sober Mesa?
The store just got 10 boxes, and I ordered 2 before anyone else because I didn't want people to order them. Because that thing, other than the Surrogate's Cracker Crumb, if I was going to give out an award, and I can't give it to the Surrogate's Cracker Crumb because it would win, but say that wins my favorite new release of the year. If I was going to say which cigar came out with a line extension and a blend they already had that just rocked my world, it would have been the Sober Mesa Short Churchill and or the Roma Craft Neanderthal Shallow Gene Pool. Although I know it was released, that's full production.
I would just like to
question my logic here.
Well, I would just like to say that there was a lot of people that thought the Short Churchill didn't. It's a little rough, right? Like, the Short Churchill is a bit of a heater, right? And there's a lot of people that don't necessarily gravitate towards that. That is right in my wheelhouse. And, you know, yeah, it lacks a lot of the, what would you say, nuance of the regular line. But it's not
balanced. I mean, it's not, okay, let me rephrase. It's not that it's not balanced, but for what it is, but it's very, like, a good word would be very unadulterated.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, there's no filter on it. If you want to smoke Sober Mesa and you don't like a kick in the teeth,
there's no,
and you'll be just happy. You'll be just happy smoking the El Americano. But if you want, like me and John, dude, smoke even the Cervantes Fino, the whatever it is, the 5.5x44, is also very tasty. But dude, the Short Churchill, and dude, the construction on that thing, I could smoke that thing for 2 hours. Mm. And you know how fast I smoke, mm-hmm. and that's how well that thing's put together.
Yeah, I picked up a Fiverr. Last time I threw the States actually, and that really was based on him talking about it at the show. And I was like, well, if Saka's going to talk it up that much, then it's gotta be good. And it was really, really good. So of course we're talking Cigar Chat. We're talking kind of our year in review. Cause this is really the last Cigar Chat of the year. And,
it is,
you know, I kind of think back, it's been a year, man. Like it's been, you know,
it's been a rough year, bro.
It's been a rough year, but like you think about all the things that's happened in this year. Like I was going through and I was like trying to write down what are all the sort of standout events that happened this year that we could talk about. And I basically wrote 3 hours worth of stuff that we need to talk about or could talk about in a 58-minute show, which is that seems like a lot.
Yeah, no, it's true, man. I mean, this year was like, and I think for most people that are listening to the show that aren't me, like, and don't have like necessarily a financial community or a store, like probably didn't impact you quite as much. You read the news, you saw about the FDA, but honestly, like it was, I mean, I'll never forget, like you'll never forget, like, you know, your child is born or you get your first job or you graduate from college or you know, those big like life stone, you get married. Like, I'll never forget what I was doing on, you know, May 5th of 2016 when I heard about the FDA dropping the big one.
Yep.
I mean, I can remember it vividly, exactly where I was, what I was doing. And it's like, you know, 9/11, not to compare cigars to 9/11, because I mean, obviously no one's died in this, but like it, I mean, it's like, what's going to happen? Are we getting an exemption? No. Are we going to file a lawsuit? No. Okay. They did. Oh, wait. Is Trump going to win? No way. Trump's not going to win. Oh, Trump won. Oh, but is Rudy Giuliani going to be on his, you know, on his cabinet? No. But all these, I mean, dude, it's just like, I just feel sick. It's been so up and down this year about what's going to happen to cigars. And frankly, it's kind of hard to even do anything. It's like, I have this roadmap of all these great names. Like, first off, Lajero by Morning.
Nice.
Great name. But what am I going to do with that?
What are you going to do with it?
You know, like, what am I going to do with it? I mean, what's going to happen? So, I mean, it's just been a very, very, very unique year. In a very much a year of like, just, oh man, my heart hurt all year just for cigars.
Yeah.
But anyways, I could get off my soapbox now. You can go ahead.
So I'm just going to do a high level, and then we can kind of get into it. We've talked a bunch about the Cigar Chat Cigar Safari that we did back in February with our coconut shovels, building houses, changing lives. So I don't think we need really to go over that again. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it on previous shows. We've certainly talked about the IPCPR. I don't think anyone wants to hear about that unless they're talking about the 2017 IPCPR. I think one of the things we haven't talked about is the death of Fidel Castro and the reaction in Miami and some of the reaction to the bloggers from the reaction in Miami, which we could definitely talk about. I want to talk about that. What that means for Cuba going forward, and obviously the, you know, Cuban cigars to the American market, we kind of touched on, but we really didn't talk about Castro's passing. Rob left SigFed. We talked a little bit about that. This has been my first full year at my new gig at Cheap Smokes and Cigars. Which it's been a hot minute. I wanted to talk a little bit about plain packaging, because plain packaging is coming to Canada, and you know, they haven't announced when it's coming, but we are confident that the earliest it's probably going to be is third quarter of 2017. But okay, we have heard discussions that it might get pushed back to 2018. But regardless, it's going to happen, and unless there's an exemption to cigars, that's going to have a pretty big impact on the cigar industry in Canada. So we can definitely talk about that. I have a lot to say about that. Of course, this is the time of the year for cigar lists. Everyone's getting their cigar lists out. I'm trying to get my cigar lists out. And I kind of, you know, I was going back trying to remember what I smoked at the beginning of the year, in the middle of the year, and making my spreadsheet, son. And, you know, as a part of that, and I see it on Facebook, everyone's talking about Cigar Aficionado's top 25, and you know, there's always chatter about what it means for the industry, and you know, people talking about it and complaining about it. And then, sort of, you know, looking forward to 2017, you know, we just saw AJ Fernandez acquired Sosa Cigars, released their brand.
And sold his factory. Crazy.
Bananas. I was kind of expecting more of that. Right around maybe a month or two after the IPCPR. To me, I mean, it's huge. It's huge news,
but
not shocking news, because this is the kind of thing we're going to start to see, especially going into 2017, acquisitions and mergers and whatever. And maybe, you know, we could talk a little bit about, not to spoil our postings or my postings or whoever's postings, but favorite factories of the year and, you know, maybe a quick redux of the top cigars of the year. And then, you know, we got all of 2017 to look forward to. So we'll start it out with a nice light topic. What do you think about the passing of Fidel Castro?
Oh, yeah, that's a light one. Let me just say this, and I don't want to offend anyone, is that I've learned through a conversation that I had with a Cuban-American last September of 2015 about their feelings towards Castro. If Castro is mentioned in any other light other than being the worst person to ever walk the face of the earth, you're going to offend every Cuban American on the face of the earth. So just be warned that that's going to happen. Now, what do I think of him passing? Hell, I mean, I thought he'd been dead. They just had him on ice. Cause I mean, he's been dying for like 5 years now. Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can't speak super intelligently about it, but I mean, I know that from everything that I've heard is his brother is a bigger jerkwad than he was. So I don't think for the Cuban people, much is going to change, honestly. Are cigars going to open up and all that kind of stuff? I mean, that's a whole other topic, but I mean, it's not like he died and there's a complete regime change, right? And they just ushered in, you know, democracy. Like, that hasn't happened. So really, it's like nothing really happened. Great, he died. Wonderful. I mean, did it change anything? Not really. So I don't know. What's your thought?
Well, I mean, I understand, I think, the reaction for a lot of, you know, first of all, there's a lot of Canadians who maybe, you know, have a different view on Castro. I don't have a different view on Castro. I think my view is probably very similar to a lot of Cuban Americans that, you know, it reminds me of the line from Samuel L. Jackson in, A Time to Burn or whatever that movie was. And he's like, yeah, he's dead and I hope he burns in hell. And, you know, it's a really harsh thing to say, but like, I think if people actually understood the history behind it, like, this guy was a tyrant. And, you know, I think there's probably this attitude of people to maybe not recognize some of the really, really awful, terrible, brutal things.
A lot of bad stuff.
Oh, a lot of bad stuff. I mean, like, you start piling up and you go, you know, internment camps and jailings and murders and assassinations, and that's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, that is the tip of the iceberg for the things he did. And then you pile into that. People had to flee their homes and some of their family members were killed by his regime. They lost everything they own. And again, that's like 10% of the story. If, you know, there's a really good documentary on Netflix right now, and I just completely blanked on the name, but it's like a 9-part series on Cuba, and it's probably a good eye opener for people who aren't really in tune with what's going on in Cuba. So I think my feelings are, although I did not have any family that died in the Cuban regime and I did not lose any property, I can completely get why people would be cheering in the street. That makes perfect sense to me because there's so much I would never take that away or speak badly about people who are doing that because I get that. Like, there's so much terrible stuff associated with him. And you're right. Cuba did not change as a result of his passing, nor do I expect it really to change under Raul. But I think so much of that is associated with him personally that, you know, it was kind of this giant release that some people have been waiting friggin' 60 years for him to die, maybe even longer. So, I think
it's a bit premature, right? Like, it's like not trying to offend anyone that's Cuban American, but it's a little premature. Like, yeah, I mean, you're tying, your thoughts about what happened to your family and stuff to Fidel, but I mean, it's the system. It's his brother. It's his lieutenants, you know, and it's kind of like you're celebrating in, you know, the bottom of the eighth, in the World Series, and the other team still gets another at bat, right? You know what I mean? It's like way premature. Like, I get it, the release, but like, the happiness should come when you get to go back to Cuba and your land that, you know, was taken from you 60 years ago, you get that land back. Do you know what I mean? Then you rejoice.
And I think, you know, part of that is definitely they're looking as he is. I mean, definitely Raul is not going to change anything because he's out in 2018 anyways, but you look at Castro was kind of the stopping block for any potential for anything to move forward. So there's a lot of emotion that's attached to that. Anyways, you know, I just hope that things improve for the Cuban people and obviously, you know, not taking anything away from Cuban Americans. I just remind our audience, you're tuning into Cigar Chat, broadcast live around the world, heard on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Cigar Chat is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars. Try the new Heritage, or old Heritage as it were, 93 rated Heritage, or the Heritage rated Maduro. Tis the season. Smoke a Heritage, smoke a Maduro. Smoke.
Just do it.
Just do it. Just smoke. And of course, we're talking about year in review and just kind of touch a little bit about Castro. Moving on from Castro, you know, Rob's gone.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, he kind of worn out his welcome a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, I mean, it's bittersweet, like I said in the last show with Rob. You know, it's because we've been working, Rob and I've been doing Cigar Chat for, you know, half a decade, and you know, was one day I realized, whoops, he's going to be gone. And then you kind of, I hope he never watches this episode, because you kind of take him for granted a little bit. Yeah. And all the things like booking the guests and like keeping me on track and all this stuff that I really am horrible at. And then he's gone, you know? So, I mean, it's definitely sad. I mean, it'll definitely not be, I mean, I think Cigar Chat will carry on. I mean, it'll be different, obviously, because he's not there. But I mean, I think IPCPR will be different. I think it'll be weird not having him at, you know, Cigar Safari Trip. But, you know, I think we'll move on. I mean, he's on to bigger and better pastures.
I think bittersweet is a good way to put it. I'm super excited for him and his new opportunity with Mombacho. And I hope that things turn around in the industry, really, because you know, you look at the timing of that. It's a tough time. It's a tough time to be getting into the industry, right? I mean, it's a tough time for everybody. Very so tough. I just kind of hope that that turns around, and I hope that sort of leads him onto a clear path, either with Mombacho, or maybe, you know, he's with Mombacho for 3 or 5 years and then does what a lot of people do, which is they move on to another company with that experience. Yep. But he's officially in the industry, and like you said, it's bittersweet because, you know, I would call him a friend. And it's sad to see him go. Even though he's not really gone, it, you know, he is gone. So, yeah, a little bittersweet.
True.
Do you want to talk about cigar lists, or do you want me to do a rant on plain packaging for?
Let's do a rant on plain packaging.
So, just as a precursor for those who aren't aware, and this is the kind of stuff that you could potentially see in the States if legislation isn't overturned. This would be really the next step with the FDA. So, quite a number of years ago here in Canada, tobacco really turned into two categories, and we call it dark or light. And if you go to buy tobacco anywhere that really isn't a tobacconist, an official tobacconist, and there are not a lot of tobacconists. I work for a tobacconist, and we are a rare breed because it's a tough model to run. And tobacco's on the decline, there's no question. You know, we don't have the same level of cigar smokers in Canada that they do in the States, that you guys do in the States. So the background is all tobacco products in all stores other than tobacconist are called dark. That means you can't see them, they're hidden, and there's no advertising, there's no price indication. You have to ask for that product, and only at the point where you ask for that product and pay for that product can you even interact with that product. And that's called dark, and that's how it's always been. So what they've talked about bringing in, and what is almost certainly coming in, is plain packaging like Australia, which means now not only is the product dark for dark stores, but for light stores like us who can, you know, a real big thing is having this product out on display so that people can see it and interact with it. They can't touch it still because that's the law, but they can see it and they can, you know, go through a humidor and see all the brands and see all the boxes. All of that, including the bands and cigars, will be obscured. That is, you'll have a plain white or gray or green band just indicate. So like if I was smoking the Mi Carita in Canada, which I can't, but if I was smoking the Mi Carita in Canada, it would say Mi Carita, and that's it. You wouldn't have this, you know, ornate gold band with the spiky pieces on it. You wouldn't have any, I mean, this is, you know, this isn't as fancy as some bands get, but you wouldn't have any of this. It would just be plain paper. The box that it came in would be a plain, probably in a cardboard box. And all the products we sell from pipe tobacco to whatever would be completely plain. And no one wants to have a feature humidor with, you know, 1,000 boxes of cigars in it that are all plain paper, plain cardboard packaging. And, you know, potentially that is something I'm positive, 100% positive that when, you know, if the FDA gained enough ground, that would be kind of the next step in their battle to prevent people from smoking any tobacco products at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Oh, biscuits. Yeah, dude. I mean, biscuits. It's just biscuits. No, dude, it's a mess, man. It's an absolute mess. Like, and I think what people don't think about is people are like, oh, well, you know, plain packaging, whatever, man, that'll lower the cost of my cigars and I won't have to. But you have to realize is that unless you were reading a cigar magazine or you were online, for know that a product even existed.
Yep.
Like, how would you even know? Like, you wouldn't. You couldn't ever walk into a shop. I mean, how many times have you guys walked into a shop and tried a cigar and you're like, dang, biscuits. That cigar was wonderful. And you're like, man, I want to try more of that because, you know, I really like what Viaje is doing, or I really like what Ohana is doing, or whoever, right? But if you didn't know that, walking in that store, you would have never have tried that cigar. And I think plain packaging, I don't think it'll be the next step with the FDA, John. My thought would be, is the next step will be reducing the flavors, you know, probably a ban on flavors or much more strict or stringent around flavored cigars. Yeah. That'll probably, in my humble opinion, that will be next. But you're right. I mean, in a step of the road, and I think it probably in my lifetime, and, you know, unless I die early, which is probably a pretty good possibility, but, you know, in my lifetime, I think we'll probably see plain packaging. And that's why this FDA stuff's got to stop now. Cause if it doesn't, I mean, honestly, it's kind of like, I don't want to compare it to that. Sherman's March to the Sea. Like, and they're just going to make it, and they're going to burn every single town down, and they're just going to burn cigars to the ground. Like, not really literally, but figuratively.
Yeah, I feel bad for this big tax change in California. I, you know, really worry about all the manufacturers or the B&Ms that are in California now trying to make it a living where
you can't.
I mean, I know what it's like. If you had a complete cigar store in California now,
it would be absolutely ignorant if you had an online cigar store base in California.
Yeah.
If you didn't move to Texas, I think it's West Virginia or Pennsylvania or Florida, you'd be an idiot. Because you can't compete with the tax. No. The tax is almost more than the cigar is. So at the beginning, you have no profit. How are you going to compete when the world is driven, you know, on basic supply and demand and economics? Price is going to win. And if you can't compete because you have to pay twice as much tax, you're just not going to do it. Unless you skirt the taxes, then you're going to end up in jail.
You can hire a pretty good sales guy, but it's going to be really tough to convince a guy to pay double the tax or double the price of a cigar when he could just go online, click, click, and get the same cigar for half the price.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So moving on to something a little bit more happy.
Rosie,
this is the time for cigar lists. Cigar Journal's got their list out. Coop's working on his list. Half Wheel isn't working. I haven't seen anything from Half Wheel.
Theirs comes in January.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. And then, of course, the big one is Cigar Aficionado, which is always a hot topic on Facebook and social media. Always.
Yeah, I know. I mean, let me just ask. The thing I don't understand is every year, you know, I'm definitely in the crowd of the boutique craft cigar smoker, but every year it's kind of like the election was this year. Like by the end of it, I'm just kind of like, people just shut up, go vote, and then just shut your mouth. Like I kind of feel like that every year with the top 25 on Cigar Aficionado, because it's gonna be the same thing every year, people. Like you're not going to see, I mean, Viaje got in there like one time, but you're not going to see Viaje. You're not going to see, well, even though I do have to give Skip Martin credit because I think he was 15th or something, but you're not going to see typically brands like that. You're going to see big brands.
I'll be honest. I was shocked to see Roma Craft on a CA.
I was too.
Kudos to Skip because he's
wonderful job.
He's hustling.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But
I mean, absolutely wonderful. I mean, I can't say that I wasn't shocked because I wasn't shocked because I knew that they had been reviewing a lot of Roma Craft products recently. And I remember, you know, a year ago, he got his first review on Cigar Aficionado was in 88, which is still friggin' amazing, right? But I kind of figured that he would eventually land. But like, I mean, you look at some of these cigars, I mean, and it's just what I smoke every day, you know, is not on this list. And people just have to realize that this list, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, you can't get butt hurt. You can't get worked up about it. You got to take it with a grain of salt. You just do.
I think what's funny, and some of the conversation on Facebook kind of lent itself to, you know, part of the crowd is, like you said, I mean, you can't get butt hurt. It is what it is. And then there's the other part of the crowd is like, well, the list doesn't matter. And
I disagree with that.
And yeah, I've definitely got into some discussions on that because I said, look, you know, I'm up here in Canada. And, you know, first of all, you can't really buy Cigar Aficionado very many places anymore in Canada. Like magazine stores don't even carry it. And even up here in Canada, our stores, the moment the CA list drops, there is a sharp spike in the number of people who are like, hey, do you have the LFD Andalusian Bowl?
Absolutely.
And it's just like, bro, really? And like, yeah, I want to buy the Andalusian Bowl. It's like, do you even know? Have you,
you know what that is?
An LFD cigar ever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude. Absolutely. Like, that's – and if people say the list doesn't matter, it, let me qualify this, is that it all is a matter of perspective. Like, to someone that's like a cigar nerd that's smoking like Mike Ritas and smoking like Foundation stuff and Espinosa stuff, does it matter? Absolutely freaking not.
Nope.
To Joe Smoker, who doesn't know anything about cigars, does it matter? Potentially. But as a retailer, and most people don't come at it from this perspective, is that when, I don't even know how to say the cigar because I haven't even smoked it yet, the Andalusian Bull, I can't tell you how many emails I got saying, hey, are you going to carry this cigar? Yeah. Like, we don't sell crap of LFD. Like, I probably sell maybe 10 boxes a year, and that's across all their lines and their facings. They have a ton. And that cigar is going to be backordered for, honestly, probably the next 6 to 8 months. Yeah. But now, what's funny is that you look at, what was last year? Was it the Oliva
Milano?
Yeah, that's what it was. You saw that cigar last year was number one. What was his name? Joe or whatever on Cigar Chat.
Very entertaining, from by the way.
Very entertaining guy. But now I hear things about how people, like, they overproduced that cigar and they can't get rid of it anymore. They can't sell it. So it's a very cyclical thing. It's very similar to, like, when a new cigar comes out, people go nuts, they smoke it, and they check that box. So, yeah, for retailers, it's great if you've got a good relationship with LFD and you've been their customer for a long time and you can squeeze that radish and say, hey, I need 10 boxes. And, yeah, you're going to make a nice little profit because people are going to be coming in. But at the end of the day, it shouldn't make or break your deal if you're on that list.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It matters. It does matter. It does matter to B&Ms, just so people know. It does absolutely matter to B&Ms.
Absolutely does.
Yeah. I mean, just ask Skippy how many calls he's gotten once the aroma crop showed up on Cigar
Aficionado. Oh, yeah. He did a great job of posting about how people wouldn't give him the time of day, and then now he's getting calls from people that said he'd never do business with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. For a brick-and-mortar retailer that's more traditional in the sense that they don't carry a lot of craft cigars,
yep,
or boutique cigars, then it does matter. Absolutely, it matters.
Absolutely. Just remind our audience, you're tuning to Cigar Chat, broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. I'm your co-host, John the Cigar Surgeon. This segment is brought to you by Cigar Oasis. Cigar Oasis is the leader and innovator in cigar humidification. If your cigars are not protected, what are you doing? Go to CigarOasis.com. Go to your local B&M. Talk about Cigar Oasis products. You need to set it and forget it. Set it and forget it. I love Cigar Oasis products. It's nice to do a spot for a product that I really believe in. By the way, a product that I really believe in, and I'm not paid for any of this, by the way, but I just picked up the new hotness, because, yeah, I got some cutters, but I've been doing strictly V-cut.
Got some cutters.
And I've been using strictly V-cut now for coming up on maybe 2.5 years. And
really?
Yeah, and I love it. I love big ring gauge. But you take talking about Neanderthal, you can't really V-cut a Neanderthal.
No, it's a little tough.
It's a little tough. Now, I know Skippy doesn't, he recommends just doing that little razor cut off the end. But I like my V-cut. And the nice thing about this is the new Lotus Jaws V-cutter that it is like 4 hours old, and I've already put it to work. And this bad boy will cut up to, I want to say, a 64, maybe a 70. I think it'll actually...
That's ridiculous.
It's rated for a 64. I think it'll actually still nip off a 70 ring gauge. So this is kind of going to be my new tester for a little while. It's got like the serrated blades on there, which is supposed to help prevent crushing the cap, because I think part of the issue with a straight blade is you can kind of compress the cap. So I'll try this out, but obviously... the color is hot. It's got that.
It's pretty nice, dude. I'm not gonna lie. I'm definitely liking it, man.
It's tight. It's tight like a tiger.
Tight like a tiger.
So moving on, because first of all, we've got an audience question that I've kind of been keeping for this particular part of the segment, and this is a little, shall we say, self-aggrandizing, but I'm gonna ask it anyways. And Michael King wants to know, Logan, what was your favorite color project release this year?
Oh gosh. I only have one child, and people say, what's your favorite child? They're like, well, I can never pick between them. That's not true with a colored project. that is not the case. But I think we're nearing, like, up until this point, I'd have to go back and count, but I think nine different releases. And there's two that really stand out for me. One of those being the Tiger Kitty softballs, just because, I mean, dude, I've been wanting to make a cigar with that name on it for 3.5 years now. And I've been wanting to make a Connecticut that didn't suck. For the last, I don't know, probably 3 months, I've started my day with a Tiger Kitty softballs every day. That's my first cigar of the day. And it just, love it. And then my other favorite is Michael Hunt. I just love that cigar.
I hated the name. And you know, I absolutely hated the name. And
I need it.
It kills me.
Because it's so good.
It's good. It's
a great cigar, man.
I think I got a 10-pack, and I think I've smoked through 6 of them already. So it's good. Dude, I enjoy it.
I mean, so I like them all. I mean, I'll rotate them all in. Not all of them are designed for my palate, to be honest, because if I just make stuff that's designed for me, I'm pretty much excluding a bunch of the market. Like, honestly, like, the salmon patty, that actually, believe it or not, the first run, we brought that back, and we're going to do another big push on that, and it'll be the last one will be done. But the first 500, like, I smoked that cigar and I was like, dude, I just don't like this. And I had a few other people who are on my, you know, friends of friends that, you know, smoke cigars and tell me what they think, just because I have to have a little more perspective than mine. And they're like, dude, for a mild medium cigar, this thing is freaking phenomenal. And I'm like, I just don't see it. So I trusted their judgment, and all the feedback I got about the Sam Patty, people freaking loved it. But I can't even hardly smoke it, to be honest with you. Like, I freaking hate it.
But that's outside of your wheelhouse. You're not the Connecticut, you know, light, medium.
No.
I mean, heck, even to go below medium for you is outside of your wheelhouse, really.
It's outside. I mean, I can appreciate a medium, but anything mild, medium, or mild, or extra mild, forget about it. Just might as well just be smoking paper. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm excited for the color project. I mean, we've got a lot of new stuff coming up next year, taking it to a whole new level next year, because honestly, I'm expecting even though we can talk about the FDA, because I know we're going to talk about that here in a minute, but I don't think anything's going to progress with that. So really, I've got a year and a half actually, to all my creativeness and all the cigars that I ever want to do and stock up for the nuclear winter. I got to do them in the next year and a half. So you're going to be seeing a lot of cool stuff.
So in that vein, Doug wants to know, what was this year's Viaje leaded for you? You know, that one cigar that you just can't get enough of and might be hoarding boxes of them.
I mean, the cigarettes animal cracker was definitely up there. Because, I mean, I think I'm on box 6 now or 7. Romacraft, Neanderthal, Shallow Gene Pool.
I need to get my hands on some of those.
And then I actually bought several boxes of this year's release of the leaded. Although, not to discount this year's leaded, but I do believe that the 2014 vintage was a little bit more superior. And finally, the cigar that I've been absolutely crushing on lately, that I just freaking cannot get enough of it, and I just forgot now because I was thinking about, I know, I was talking about leaded, is the Luzion Phantom. I'm so glad that cigar came back, because just good night. What a wonderful cigar. But yeah, so that's what I've been raging on. I mean, but really, the cigar that I've been tracking down, and well, it's kind of hard for me to say I'm tracking stuff down, because I've got pretty much anything I want at my fingertips. But yeah, I mean, probably I have bought a box of Luzion Phantoms, because Sigfed's been out for a long time. I did buy a box of Luzion Phantoms from another retailer. I will admit that I did that. So I would put that as my Viaje leaded.
Well,
because I will buy sight unseen a box of Viaje leaded, no questions asked.
So, and I think I touched on some of this during the Sokka show, but for me, Protocol. I mean, I don't think there's any question that I got a huge raging love on for the Protocol Lancero.
You do.
It's special. The Nomad Martial Law, which I know you're not a huge fan of. And you know why I think you're not a huge fan of it? Because it's smack dab in that medium plus category.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't think it's I like what Black Label's doing, though.
Yeah,
like,
you do.
I do. Really,
I mean, and I love. I've got a Bishop's blend that's waiting, and I think it's going to be tomorrow because I want to smoke it to get it into this year's top list because everyone's been talking about it. I mean, it got like a 94 on Half Wheel, which I was like, okay, now I really got to smoke this. And I weaseled hard when I was down. I was like, James, you got to give me a Bishop's blend, brother, because I can't get my hands on them. You got to give me one. And he hooked me up, so I'm really excited to sit down with that cigar and see because I love everything that Black Label puts out. I mean, everything that Fred has put out from Nomad, I've loved everything that Black Label's put out, so I'm really looking forward to trying that. I've been raging a little bit on the Hoyo Blacks. I've been raging on Hoyas in a while. I raged pretty hard on those Cuatro Cincos.
That's their best cigar.
The Cuatro Cinco is incredible. No. And the re-release was incredible, but the Hoya Black, which I think just got, you know, it's funny because I think Half Wheel gave it like an 86. And I read that and I'm like, you know, I understand. Like,
it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great either.
And you know, tastes are completely subjective and there's nothing wrong with that. But I looked at that and I'm like, really? I'm like, not only is for me, not only is it not an 86, but that's a cigar that's going to land high in my top 25 list. And you know, I like Hoya product, but that's a really standout for me since the Cuatro Cinco. The Hoya Red was good, but it was outside of my portfolio for strength and body. But the Hoya Black was like everything, you know, San Andreas, delicious, fantastic, sure, love it. I was raging hard on the Robert Holt Southern Draws.
You're okay.
The Quick Draw Broadleaf and the Pennsylvania Broadleaf.
That is a good cigar.
And I was shocked because, you know, I'm not a daily Connecticut shade smoker. His Connecticut shade quick draw was probably as good as the Broadleaf or better than the Broadleaf. And I say that as a Broadleaf fanatic. It was phenomenal. So I've been raging a little bit on those. And
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I got one question for you. And it's not because I want to hear your answer to it because I don't know. I'm curious to hear your answer to it. So, right. Okay. So, yeah, I'm very excited to hear your answer.
Here we go.
The Hoya Black.
Yeah.
Pretty good cigar. Like, and no offense against, you know, Hoya. I love Hoya. I love Juan. But they're very, I wouldn't call them necessarily boutique, right? They're very domestic. They've got kind of their core lines. You know, they haven't.
48 years.
Yeah, 48 years. They've got the Antonio, the Cabanetta. And the stuff that just sells really good, you know, and they've been trying to do some more new age stuff with like the Hoya Red, you know, the Cuatro Cinco and stuff like that. My question would be, is let's say someone kind of boutique-y, like a, for example, let's say like a Nick Melillo did the Hoya Black, the exact same blend, and called it the Foundation Black or whatever. Yeah. Would people like the cigar more than the Hoya Black?
That's a good question. I think it's a fair question. And I think they would.
I think they would too.
Especially if you take a guy like Nick Melillo, or even if, you know, Steve did the
or Sokka,
you know,
or anybody.
Sokka did a really cool, you know, Spanish twist on the Hoya Black, and it was the exact same blend. It would get more fanfare. And I think part of the reason for that is it's tough for a company that's been around as long as Hoya has to come out with something. I don't want to say it's boutique, but come out something that sort of competes in that boutique market.
Right.
Because people aren't used to that. They're used to traditional Antonio, you know, Cabanetta, like you said, that's what they're used to. And I think that's probably why the Hoya Red, when it came out, was such a head turner for so many people, because it was like, hey, this is way outside the realm for them for blend and design and banding and packaging. And so I think the unfortunate part of that is, although I'm sure they have good sales and obviously a lot of people flock to them to do blends through them, they don't necessarily get the same fanfare as, you know, the Viajes and the Ilusiones of the market, which is kind of sad because they've got some great tobaccos to work with. And they've, like I said, that Cuatro Cinco, man, I know you're not, you thought it was okay. I love that cigar. That is probably going to go down as one of my favorite Hoya cigars ever. And, you know, yeah, I think if they were a boutique manufacturer, they would definitely be getting a lot of fanfare, more fanfare. But just a reminder to audience, you're tuning into Cigar Chat, broadcast around the world and on the Armed Forces Radio Network. This last segment is brought to us by who, Logan?
Our good friends at Drew Estate. Hey, let you know. Drew Estate, Cigar Federation, Cigar Safari. Announced it a couple weeks ago. Only two spots left. Go to Eventbrite, check out the link, book it up. It'll may or may not be the last trip we ever do. Who knows? But it's time, if you're a cigar smoker lover, to get down to Nicaragua. Because it's kind of like people that said, hey, man, I saw, you know, Jimi Hendrix at, you know, Woodstock. Or I saw Jimi Hendrix a couple years later when he was all messed up. Where do you want to see Jimi Hendrix? Do you want to see him at Woodstock? Or do you want to see him all messed up where he can barely talk? You want to see him at Woodstock. So, there you go. Smoke Drew Estate.
And download the Drew Diplomat app today. If you haven't downloaded the, they're giving away so much, like,
it's ridiculous. See posting,
dude, I saw a guy got one of those humidor ashtray.
Oh, man. Dude, those things are savage, man.
Those things, I want, like, I was like, maybe I could just, you know, not take luggage down and I could somehow convince Jesse to give me one of those, or I could buy one of them all. No, you got to be on the Drew Diplomat app to get your hands on one of those. You know, I'd probably give part of my right arm for one of those, frankly. They're beautiful. But moving right along, because we've got about 13, 14 minutes here. So, you know, we talked about favorite cigars of the year. What do you think are the standout factories? Because, you know, last year we had some pretty big standout factories and some of them were boutiques. What was your standout factories for this year?
You know, I think a factory that, I mean, is that I always like is, you know, Casa Fernandez and, you know, Tabsa and Tabsa. I mean, they usually put out a lot of great cigars, but I mean, between the, you know, the Illusion Phantom, between all the new Warp stuff,
that,
you know,
by the way, all the new Warp stuff, it's
sick. It's pretty good. It's I hate to even admit it, but it's pretty good.
I'm to the point where I'm almost smoking a Corto every day. Like, it's, I need to get more. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Tabs is definitely a standout, you know, and, you know, I think Roma Craft, I mean, was another solid factory, but I mean, they've always been solid. But I think what made Roma Craft more solid this year is because up until, I mean, starting beginning of this year, they really didn't produce anyone else's blends.
Yep.
It was just kind of their own stuff, right? And this year they put out the Wonderlust, which is an exclusive to Germany. You know, they put out the
Fable. Have you smoked the Wonderlust?
I did.
What'd you think?
It was Cuban-y.
Way outside your wheelhouse.
It was Cuban-y. And yeah. I got my hand slapped because I was like, kind of tastes like Cuban. I go, it tastes like there's Cuban tobacco in here. And Skip's like, well, you can't, it's not taste. It's like the aroma. And I'm just like, oh my God, just shut your face. But yes, I thought it was solid for what it was, but it was definitely not something that I would gravitate to. Yeah, he's doing the Fable. He's doing all the
Pastani,
however you say it. Yeah. And then Esteban's doing his own line, Juana Mario, or however the hell you say it. So, I mean, to be able to keep the quality of the Roma products, the core lines where they are with introducing all that. I mean, that's just another hats off to Skip to show, you know, his ability to, you know, kind of continue to dominate the cigar industry and kind of, reinvent themselves and kind of broaden their portfolio every year. So, I mean, I think for me, those are kind of two factories that, you know, I think did a solid job this year.
I would agree. I think, you know, spoiler alert for those who are looking for my posting, Roma Craft's factories, Nick Osueño is going to be on that list for really all the reasons that you said. I think, you know, they've been consistently producing great product. And now that they've got other brands coming out of the factory that are also coming out to great fanfare, I think that just shows the trajectory that they're on. And I think, you know, absolutely candidate for Cigar Factory of the Year.
Yeah.
Tabso is going to be on my list for sure. You know, just because, I mean, beyond the Warp stuff, I mean, they did some collaboration with General. I don't know if you've smoked any of it, but I had the chance to sit down because I'm hoping to get them done this year. I don't know if it's going to happen, but the new, the Hoya was really good. Surprisingly really, really good. Black Label Trading Company is going to be on my list.
I forgot about them.
I mean,
that would almost be biased, so I can't really say them, but I mean, they had a good year.
And you know, because I don't do business with Black Label. Well, that's not true. I do business with Black Label because we carry them at our stores now. And the reason we carry them at our stores is because they're freaking good. And good, man. I think same thing with James is they've kind of, you know, their factories solidified now. They're starting to do a lot of projects for other stores, store exclusives. They're doing obviously the color project or the Crayola project, as it were.
That was such a misnomer. I screwed that project. It's real bad.
Sack them, man.
So they much better, it. Dude.
And they've been nailing on all cylinders. And you know, last year the hotness was Espinosa Lazona, and I gotta say, again this year, and I had the chance to smoke a bunch of stuff when I was down in Miami with Hector. It was all really, really good, and I think they're going to continue to take that strength into 2017. Just absolutely, like,
I don't know, no man. I don't know. Like, you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I think Lazona. I mean, much love for the guys at Lazona. I felt it was a much better year for them. I mean, gotten too big. Like, to where they're outsourcing half their production to AJ. You know what I mean? Like, and half the stuff's not even... Is it AJ? It's AJ, right? Right? Like...
You're kind of cutting out there, bro.
Can you... Well, aren't they outsourcing all their EO brand stuff to AJ or whoever it is?
That sounds right to me. But that's really... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but I think that's really a sign of just how much stuff they're doing out of the factory now. Like, they're really, they're really getting to the point where they need to have a bigger facility.
Yeah, but that's almost like, it's almost getting a mass market. Like, and I love the protocol originally, but I didn't really like the probable cause. I didn't really like any of the Moy Ruiz stuff that came out this year. Like, I didn't really like any of the Espinosa's dog, which was pretty good.
Incidentally,
the Crossier, it's not made there, but
Alpha Dog was really good. I'm actually surprised that you didn't like the Probable Cause, because I thought it was like...
It wasn't that good.
See, I thought it would be perfectly in your wheelhouse because it's a medium full with San Andreas, but it's jacked up in intensity. And I thought, you know, Rob was like, I don't like this. And I was like, yeah, I can see why you wouldn't like this, because it's a little dirty and it's a little too full for you. And I thought that was exactly the kind of cigar that would be right in your
eyes.
Yeah.
Let me just say that. Earning San Andreas fan. Because I smoke a lot of cigars that are right, as you say, medium full to full. Like, that's a very segment that I'm very comfortable in. So I'm very discerning in that segment.
That's fair.
It was bad. Like, I mean, I would have probably still gave it like an 87, 86. So it wasn't a bad cigar, but it didn't blow my skirt up. Like, the original protocol, dude, it blew my skirt up. I was like, dude, this is like heaven on earth. I think it's tasty. Didn't have that experience, man. No offense.
Really love the protocol. Really love that protocol, Lancero. Looking forward to 2017 as we sort of wrap up the last really 5 minutes here of the show. What do you think, there's a lot of discussion about what's going to happen in 2017, a lot of discussion about the IPCPR for 2017, all the appointments to the cabinets for Trump, and what that's going to mean for the industry, if anything. There's been a lot of chatter. What do you think in general we're going to see in 2017? What's your looking forward in the crystal ball?
I mean, dude, I mean, you know, by nature, I'm kind of a negative person, and I like to make, and I do that not because I'm just realistic, trying to be negative, but I mean, you could say that, but I don't know, man. I know a lot of people in the industry that the day I was talking to them, they're like, oh my God, it's over. Trump's going to be awesome. I don't think so. And if I'm wrong, then I'll happily be wrong and eat crow and everything like that. Politicians, frankly, give a F about premium cigars. There's not a huge market in it. There's, I mean, anti-smoking any day and just turn sheer mass of people. And those aren't hurting anyone, you know, or not. I mean, they don't target kids. Any of American smoke. So it's not like alcohol. So I just don't think Trump's going to give a crap. I really don't. And I really think that we're going to see, you know, a lot more consolidation of brands. It's like example, Jose Blanco, you know, taking the job at EP Carrillo. For that, we're going to see a lot more brands that are going to get bought, like Sosa. And I think we'll see a lot more consolidation where IPCPR is going to be kind of a very much a brave new world.
I would echo that sentiment. I think we're going to see a lot of acquisitions before the IPCPR. I'm not sure if, because I was kind of thinking, you know, are we going to see any brands kind of shutter and close down before the IPCPR? And I kind of think what's going to happen is the IPCPR is going to be
maybe a little.
But I think the IPCPR is going to be the last kick of the cat for some of the smaller manufacturers, some of the smaller boutiques.
Absolutely. Where
if nothing happens and changes and improves in the industry by the IPCPR, that might be the last IPCPR for a lot of well-known and very popular boutique brands. And I think, you know, talking about the cabinet appointments, I mean, Coop has done a fantastic job of, you know, being the sort of, like you, the pessimistic voice, the realistic voice in the industry to say all these people just assume that because there's a Republican Senate, House, and executive that somehow that's going to be all, you know, candy cane and white picket fences for the industry. And, you know, I think there needs to be a little bit of a realism check there where that doesn't necessarily mean that things are going to be rosy. I mean, all these people have been around since this legislation was dropped back in, 2009. And they've had every opportunity to, at least some of them have had every opportunity to block it or try and do everything to stop it. And they really haven't in a lot of cases.
They haven't done anything.
So I think, you know, for me, I kind of look as once Trump is inaugurated, really, that first 120 days is when something's going to happen.
Then he'll do it. If he doesn't, it's not going to happen.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Is that what you're going to say?
That's exactly what I was going to say. You got a 90 to 120 day window. And this is what I'm saying to all the people out there. If you don't see, and I don't mean like softening where they're like, well, you know, we'll talk about it or we'll, you know, put a legislation forward and consider it. If you don't see action, a significant change and turnaround in the FDA legislation or the FDA itself in the first 90 to 120 days of 2017,
it's not
going away. It really isn't. And I would encourage people to keep that in mind that when the next cycle comes, when the re-elections happen for the House, the Senate, halfway through his term, that people keep that in mind because, you know, you got to vote for, a lot of people are voting for the people that will support them in the industry. And I think they got to keep that in mind that if these people do not support you and your industry, that I hope you vote accordingly when the time comes to check that in, what would that be, 2019? God, that's a long ways away, 2019.
It
seems like a long time away, but it's not. It's halfway through his term. So 90 to 120 days, you better look for significant movement in the industry. And if you don't see that, I don't think there's going to be any change.
You're not going to see it.
No.
So, yeah, perfect timing.
Well, so as a sort of close out for Armed Forces Radio Network, I want to wish everyone a happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. We'll be back in the new year. I don't know who we're going to have on for a guest, but we'll have somebody. And it's been an interesting, sad, exciting, shocking, and all of the emotions under the tree for 2016. Any close out words for our 2016 episode of Cigar Chat?
You know, it's been an interesting year. I mean, like every year, we appreciate, you know, without, you know, people out there listening to the podcast, participating in the forums, the chat, although I hate the chat, you know, and just supporting us. I mean, there would be no Cigar Federation. So obviously appreciate the support. Looking forward to next year, you know, and until our next show, you know, hope you have a Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Festivus for the rest of us. And we'll see you guys in 2017.
And thanks for everyone on the Armed Forces Radio Network who has been entertained for this 58 minutes. Hope you guys get to enjoy a little bit of Christmas, maybe talk to some family, write some letters, some rack time, and enjoy a good cigar, and we'll catch you in the new year.
Peace. Motherfuckers! We're back. What's up,
Doc? We're back. So I don't know who's messaging me.
We back.
Someone has been messaging the ever-living Jesus out of me because my phone is just going off. And it's like, and I have this conversation with my significant other. She's like, what are you up to?
You know who it is? It's Laura. I guarantee it.
No, because she knows. She's like, she knows that I have a show on Wednesday and I have a show on Thursday. And, you know, I don't know who's messaging me, but I'm busy, man. I'm live on the internet.
Be like, get out to here.
I'm smoking. I'm drinking. Well, I'm not smoking. I'm just holding a cigar in my hand. I'm not actually smoking it.
Because you're cold?
No, because I don't smoke cigars.
I know. That would be fucking shit'll kill you. Fucking shit'll kill you, man. I don't even know. Oh, I don't know, man, John. I gotta say, I'm not trying to be like negative Nancy or anything. But I gotta say, man, it's not looking good for this industry. It is not looking good. Not at all. Not looking good. I mean, it's not looking good.
I mean, it's tough because I'm getting it from two fronts. I mean, all the things that happen in the United States, especially with, you know, blends and brands and what's impacting the United States trickles down to Canada. And I mean, on top of all the other things we have to worry about up here with all of our legislation, our taxes, thinking about losing boutique brands or other major brands in the market is seriously a kick in the pants. Oh. And I mean, it makes me sad because, you know, like Black Label just hit the Canadian market later this year, just a couple months ago. And I was excited to see them in the market up here. And it's like, I don't want to see that go away. I don't want to see that impacted by price increases, by, you know, this whole FDA user fee crap. Like, and unfortunately, all of that's just going to trickle down. And we pay enough for cigars up here. All this FDA stuff is just going to, you know, it does mute my happiness and enjoyment when I go out and smoke a cigar to think this is the kind of crap that's happening with our industry.
I know. It's very true, man. I mean, it's just, you know, not to dwell on it, but yeah, I mean, it's just a kick in the cojones, my friend. Mm-hmm. Very much a kick in the cojones. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, let's just hope that, you know, something happens. I mean, there's still a lot of avenues, but I mean, you know, the House Appropriations Bill, no dice, wasn't included, you know. And at the end of the day, I think when you look at politicians, you know, cigars are just a bargaining chip.
Yeah.
It's something, you know, like when you're in like a business negotiation and you add something in originally to your contract that you don't even really want, but you're trying to sell to someone, and then you're able to either back that out or give it to them for free and it doesn't really cost you anything, and you ultimately get what you want. I feel like that's kind of what cigars are to politicians. You know what I mean?
It's not a first line priority. You know, we're not talking about
not
corn agriculture or beef. Like it's such a small segment of the market that unfortunately, like you say, when push comes to shove, it's a bargaining chip for something else.
It is.
Which is really unfortunate because I love cigars.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I mean,
and I love the people in the industry.
That's true. I mean, what do you think about, because I've seen recently there's been like a couple of new companies that have launched cigars that I've never even heard of before. Like, what are these fucking clowns doing?
Incidentally, I smoked one of those new ones, Barracoa, The Voyage.
That was one of them, yeah.
So I was like, Danny, man, you have cojones. Like,
you got some balls, dude.
Well, it reminds me of Alec Baldwin in Glengarry Glen Ross, where he's like,
dude, absolutely.
You know what it takes to sell cigars in this market today?
Brass balls.
And I'm like, you know, kudos to you, man, for trying to make it in the worst possible time to be entering the market. And frankly, he came out with a hell of a good release for his first cigar. And, you know, I think about a guy like that who's trying to make it in the market. And it's like, I just hope that the industry turns in such a way that you can make a living. I mean, I don't know what avenue that would look like, but hopefully something gives so that a guy like that or other people like that who want to enter the industry, because, you know, I like Padron and I like Fuente and I like, you know, a lot of the quote unquote mainstream brands, but I like to smoke, and I don't want to say new stuff, but I, you know, you think about like Steve coming back and Nick coming back, and the stuff like that that drives the industry and sort of continues to push brands and blends in the industry. And I like that. I like the idea of competition. It's good for the industry. It's good for new product. It's good for new brands. And I want to see that continue. I want to see the next, you know, Danny Vasquez come out with whatever that cigar company is at the IPCPR in 2017. I want to see that guy show up excited for his new product.
I know.
And I
want to
see that fostered. I mean, yes, I love the existing brands, but I also kind of root for that little guy that starts up a new company. I want to see that guy succeed. I really do.
No, I 100% agree with you, man. Like, 100% agree with you. Like, I think that's one of the things I would miss if cigars left, is that it's cool being like, dude, did you smoke this new thing? Did you know about this new guy? I mean, just think about to 2014, dude, with Warped, man. Warped was nobody. And now we're sitting here being like, dude, this guy is like a force to be reckoned with, yeah. right?
Everything he's released has been outstanding. Think about
Skip 5 years ago, you know? Like, I mean, every cigar company started somewhere, right? Pete started somewhere. Dion started somewhere, like, and that's what I'm going to miss. I'm definitely going to miss watching people's evolution as a company and their blending evolution. That's going to be sad.
And then, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's a good thing to think about a brand or a manufacturer being bought out by a larger manufacturer. Part of me says, well, some of that's going to be inevitable as, you know, unless things improve, there's going to be people that are going to have to exit the industry because, you know, they look at the trajectory of where that's going to land in 2018 and say, well, this is my last chance in 2017. And, you know, when that drop dead date hits in 2018, I just don't have the cash flow to keep that going.
I just can't. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, you look at that and you say, well, you know, would I rather those guys be bought out by, you know, the Generals and Altadises of the world, or would I rather see them just make a graceful exit and then people hoard their boxes and they're done? Like, I don't know. It's tough, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, the question is, even if it gets bought by a bigger guy, that it won't be the same, right? I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, anytime you have a company that, you know, any company that's bought by, I mean, people love Goose Island, right? And it's bought by Anheuser-Busch. They still operate, you know, under the Anheuser-Busch, but everyone's like, dude, it's not the same. Or somebody like, no offense, John Huber, the Los Caballeros 2014, he swears it's the same blend as La Imperiosa, but people are like, it's not the same. You know what I mean? And it's just like, people are going to do that. So really, even if you buy it, like, it's not the same. Or people are going to assume it's not the same. So I don't know, man. It's just, it's fucking frustrating. And I just think it's, yeah, you're right. I mean, we literally, 190 to 120 days. And if something hasn't dropped, then at that point, the only hope is litigation in July, which frankly, I don't expect to go anywhere fucking fast.
No.
So
now I do have to say one of the sort of surprising buyouts, which was now a couple of years ago, which was Drew Estate being bought out by Swisher. And I have to say, I am both happy and surprised that you really haven't seen anything change. No, it's still the same.
No.
I mean, in fact, you know, arguably, really between the end of last year and this year with, you know, you got the All Out Kings, you got the Swamp Thing, you got the Herrera Miami edition. You got all the new Piggy sizes. You got the Underground Shade, all these new products continuing to come out just like it was, you know, things like normal.
Yeah, I mean, I would actually say that the departure of Nick Melillo was more damaging to their company than being bought by Swisher.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I mean, you know, I think one of the things of when someone sort of key to a company departs like that, or something key changes in a company, I think that's sort of the crucible for that company to say, well, you know, this is either our chance to sort of not necessarily reinvent, but sort of collect ourselves and refocus where our direction is going to be. In Drew Estate's case, they brought out Willie Herrera, and that was,
right.
I mean, what a great acquisition.
A swift move.
I mean, Willie has absolutely taken that company to the moon, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I've loved everything Willie's put out, and everything he touches for me is gold. And,
right.
you know, you just kind of hope that sort of fight spirit continues with the industry in 2017. I mean, part of me, you know, I'm not a pessimist per se, but I'm a realist. And I say, well, you know, that 90 to 120 day window, I do really, really hope that, you know, the people that Trump has put in place make positive changes to the industry. And, you know, the best case scenario is they just abolish all the legislation that's going to happen with the FDA. Do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. But if something positive can come out of that, then enough to let the companies and the manufacturers continue to do what they do for the foreseeable future. I mean, you can never guarantee that for the next 5 or 10 years, but at least get another 2 or 3 years out of it would be, you know, business as usual.
Would be
nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be ideal. I don't know, man. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think you're right. I think by, you know, April, May, we're going to have a pretty good idea where this thing's going. And I think that when you said there's not going to be a lot of people closing shop or, you know, a ton more consolidations before IPCPR, I'd like to think that there probably will be, because I think people will start, you know, it's crazy to me, but like a lot of people in the cigar industry are very much put your head in the sand kind of people and don't really get, I don't think necessarily get or are wanting to acknowledge the ramifications of what this could be. And I think once they see that, oh my God, Trump hasn't done anything, I think a lot of it will start sinking in when they're like, man, I got to invest $100,000 on this new blend for IPCPR come March or May so I can make sure it gets done by the time, you know, August. And I think people are really going to have second thoughts about cutting those checks.
Well, look at how many people weren't prepared to pay the user fees that were due this month, right? Like you have to have, you have to have all your regulation, all your paperwork in. Is it December? No, it's not December 31st.
They extended it. December 29th? It was December 30th. It was the 29th, but they extended it.
Oh, okay. But I mean, there's so many people that are not and were not at all in any way prepared for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just think people just don't get it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's going to, as my dad says, this will separate the wheat from the chaff. Yeah. And we'll see who kind of shakes out on top, you know. But I don't know. I mean, it's just, let me just say, and I haven't told a lot of people this year, but this was the first year that cigars wasn't as fun. For me, cigars have always been fun. This year, not saying it wasn't fun, but it was a lot less fun than it was any other year previous.
And maybe that was sort of the vibe we were picking up, because we talked about that, about the IPCPR, is that, you know, in the past, the IPCPR has been kind of, I mean, yes, it's a trade show, but it's also an opportunity to meet up with people that we know and hang out and talk. And I think for the first day or two, there was really this sort of doom and gloom over the entire show, and certainly, you know, this trepidation of what's going on in the industry, and it sapped a lot of the energy out. And I hope that, you know, again, I hope things improve before the next IPCBR. But I think if they don't, you know, this it's going to be an interesting show. The 2017 show is going to be very interesting to see how people react and see some of the manufacturers that didn't show up for the 2016 IPCPR, whether they're even going to bother to show up for the 2017 IPCPR.
Yeah, it's very true. Very true, my Canadian friend.
Did you get all the shopping done?
Yeah, dude, I'm not a big guy. I'm not big on Christmas. But yeah, dude, we get their family's Christmas list like in late October, early November. So I just busted that shit out. So, I mean, we had to buy a few, like, knickknacks and shit. But other than that, we've been done for months.
I got to say, God bless Amazon.
Oh, yeah, man.
It was the easiest shop. I really committed to do almost all my shopping online this year. And what a day. Because Christmas for me, and I don't mean to be poo-poo, but I end up being poo-poo. Because Christmas for me means a lot of stress. Work is crazy. Tons of family commitment that I have to organize and sort of, you know, manage. And then on top of that, you got New Year's plans you got to manage. It ends up being a pretty stressful time of the year for me. So if I can take out the shopping aspect of that, put that online and have packages delivered on time without me having to brave the crazy malls, and they are crazy, and do the wrapping and all that stuff and have that all done for me, I'm super happy for that.
Yeah, legit. I agree, man. Everything we did was online, 100%.
Nice. So I'm excited. We're gonna have to talk when we come back in the new year. We'll talk about the fabulous loot that we got for Christmas, because, you know, it's all about showing off that loot. And I don't know if I'm gonna get any cool cigar stuff this year, because I'm kind of, you know, I got
kind of cigar. You got tons of stuff.
I got tons of stuff. It's tough to buy for me, unless they're buying me cigars, and I don't think anyone's gonna buy me cigars. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of loot. I'm totally down with toques and shirts, though. You know, cool industry toques and shirts. Absolutely. Got my Sigfed toque. I love this toque. Wear it everywhere.
You and your dang toques, man.
Mm-hmm. Gotta keep those ears warm, brother. Because sometimes she's cold, although it's not very bad at all tonight, but gotta stay warm.
Yeah, what is it up there now?
You know, I think it's still like 33 degrees right now, which...
Oh, really?
I'll sit out here for 5 hours at 33 degrees, but when it gets down to like 5 degrees or -5 degrees.
Yeah, dog. No.
I mean, you can only wear so many layers, and eventually, I mean, well, and actually, little story, just so people know, I sat down, and this is really sad. I sat down on Tuesday to smoke the new Epic Cigars San Andreas. Mm-hmm. And I was really looking forward to that, because, you know, I love San Andreas and I like Epic Cigars.
Because he's Dean, man. He's Canadian. You love him.
Dean. I love Canadians. And I love all the stuff Dean's done. And I sat down to review the cigar. And it was crappy out. It was cold out. The wind was blowing. I was having a shit time keeping the cigar lit. And I really got to the halfway point of the cigar. And I was like, there's no way this cigar is performing the way it should be in this. Like, it's the weather. It's hot. And I'm like, this is janky. And I just had to let the cigar go out. And I'm like, I can't finish the review because I'm in a shitty situation, which hopefully will be rectified in the near future. But because we're working on something. We're working on some special secret sauce up here in Calgary, which
pretty legit.
If things happen the way they happen, you might see me recording from different digs. You might see me doing some shows and some reviews from different digs. Things might change, so I've got my fingers
crossed that things work out. That'll be good for you.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. So I want to wish everyone out there who's tuned into our live broadcast and certainly all the people out there who tune into our podcast every week, thanks very much for tuning in and supporting us in 2016. Definitely hit up Cigar Federation, join in the chat, but more importantly, joining the forums. There's a lot of great conversation that happens there. And we love our community. We love our people. And there's only two spots left in the Cigar Safari. So like Logan said, if you want pretty much the best safari event that happens, you got to come along. There's two spots left. I guarantee we'll make it a good time for you. And if you've never been on Cigar Safari, you got to go. This might be the last safari that we do. We don't know. And I'd hate for somebody out there to say, well, you know, maybe 2018.
Maybe next year.
This is the year for you to go. Save a couple boxes of cigars. Don't buy a couple boxes of cigars. Put that money towards Cigar Safari. It'll be worth it, I promise.
Any questions, just mail me. Logan at Cigar Federation. I'll tell you how awesome it is.
There you go. So we'll see you all in the new year. Stay frosty out there.
Have your pet spayed or neutered. Bye, Bart.